So boys and girls, when I was your age, I used to ask my mom and my dad a ton of questions, sort of like endless questions. I would keep on asking, and they would keep on answering, and then eventually my mom would just get tired and says, "Because I say so." And then I'd say, "Why?" And she said, "Because I'm your mother, and that's enough." And that was like kind of an agreement. There was no more questions after she said, "I'm your mother," and that was it. And it was funny. Do you guys ever do that? Do you ever ask your mom and dad questions constantly? And you keep on going. And where does your mother or father stop you? Somewhere around, "I say so," and it's familiar, right? I'm your mother, stop it, right? Well, so the reason why I bring that up is because in today's gospel, the disciples, prior to this part of the gospel we hear today, the disciples have been asking him questions, question after question after question. And he gets, you can hear him tired. And he says, instead of says, "I'm your mother" or "your father," he says, "I am the good shepherd." And all the questions stop. And so we have to look inside. Why was being the good shepherd so definitive, like being our mother? And he says three things in this. It's really important in this reading here. He says, number one, is that mine know me and I know mine. So in other words, we know his voice and he knows us. And I'll go into that. The second thing is, he says, "I lay down my life for my sheep." And the third thing, he says, there is only one fold, one shepherd, one flock. Now let's talk a little about the first one first. So my sheep know me and I know me. Right, so this is also true of our parents, right? We know the voice of our parents. We could pick out the voice of our parents over another voice in the crowd, right? Anyone want to prove it to me today? Who wants to be brave enough if I give different? Anyone want to be brave enough to try to pick out their mom or dad's voice? Wow, no, not exactly a stunning offer. Okay, you want to do it? What's your name?
Jeremy.
What is it?
Jeremy.
Okay, so who? That's a tough name to say. Wow, you're going to get, your dad and mom's going to, okay, so come on forward. Where's dad? Where's dad? Mom or dad? There's dad. Okay, dad, you're going to stand up. You're going to stand in the center, and I'm going to take two other men. Cliff, will you sit out, stand out here, and then we'll just make it easy. You stand here. All right, so come on up here. Now, I'm going to switch them all around. You're not going to know who it is. You're going to stand up here. Come on, all the way up here. And say your name, so you got to tell, you got to practice the names. Okay, you know it, but like you better tell them. Okay, so you're ready? Now here's number one, two, and three. You have to guess, after you've heard all three, which is your dad. One.
Jeremy.
Okay, I'm going to give you a second chance. That was one, two, three. They all sound so simpler. Whoops. Okay. He has a hard time, sorry. Okay, here we go. Here's one.
Jeremy.
Number two.
Jeremy.
Number three.
Jeremy.
Which is your dad?
Second.
Number two. Woo! Good job. Woo! Wow, you guys sounded so alike. Oh, my God. Last night we did that and it didn't work. They didn't get the right. I kind of had to go into secondary mode of a homily giving, so. Anyway, so the point of it is that we can, even though like all three sound really, really close together, we do know our parents' voice. And we know them and they know us. If our child screams, you know it as parents. If your child screams, it doesn't matter where they are, you can hear that voice. And you stop what you do and you know the difference between a cry and a cry for help. And in seconds, you drop everything. God knows, boys and girls, God knows us that well. He knows our voice that well that when we cry out to him for help, he knows us by name and calls out to us. Now, the struggle is, oftentimes we don't know his voice as well as he knows us. And that's why we spend time, that's why we teach you in this whole program that you've been part of here, is we teach you how to pray. We teach you to listen to God, to say words to God, but to listen and to know his voice so that we can hear what he is telling us and guiding us, because we believe that he is guiding us all the time. That brings us to the second point. And the second point is, God loves us so much that he lays down his life for us. Now look, every one of your parents here, if yours is in danger, they would lay down their life for you. And if you don't already know that, I can assure you that's true right now. That if somebody came in here and said, I want your son or daughter this, they would stop and say, you can take me instead. Every one of your parents would do that. God loves you just the same, and even more. He loves you so much that he's willing to lay down the life of his own son for that. That Jesus loves us so much that he lays his own life. And he says in the scripture that nobody does it for me. I do this in my own free will. In other words, God loves you so much that Jesus says, I'm going to do this myself. That's the second thing. The third thing is why we're here today together in this communion. You're receiving your first communion. And what we do is this word communion means community. And it's a reminder that you're not making your first communion alone. It's not just one of you. But every single one of you as a collective are making your first communion. And this is the one flock or the one fold that he refers to. And it's not just this fold, he says very specifically in today's reading. Not just this fold, meaning just us. But in fact, there's other folds that he also leads. Because there is one God and there's one people. Now, so all those three things, that all sounds wonderful, but what does it mean for our daily life? What does all that mean? Well, number one is we want to come to know the God who loves us so much, that he knows us by name. So we are encouraged, all of us, to pray each and every day and to say our prayers and to learn to get to know his name. But when we come here to Eucharist, we celebrate that we are together, that there is a communion, a unity in coming together. And why? Because we come to receive the body of Christ, which you're going to receive for the first time today, and what we have received for the umpteenth time. And what we promise in that is that we are going to be part of this good shepherding for others. That by our actions, by our words, we are going to shepherd other people. Now, how do we do that? It's all the little things, boys and girls. The little things like being kind to your brother, your sister, being as sensitive to some boy or girl at school who's getting bullied, by looking at your parents and caring for them, that if they've had a bad day, you know that they've had a rough day at work, that you go and you give them a big hug and tell them that you love them. I promise you, if you do that, it will melt all their troubles away that day. You have that power. Every single day you have that power to melt somebody else's troubles away. So why do we do this? Because Jesus is the good shepherd. He showed us how to do it. And he gave his life away. And so we're called to do the same thing. So when we come to receive the bread, this bread here that we call the body of Christ, we claim something really outrageous. When we say amen, we say we are becoming what we receive. We become the body of Christ, not for ourselves, but for others. That we're willing to do that for others. That we become the blood of Christ. When we say amen to the blood of Christ, we are becoming the blood of Christ for us. That means that we choose to be Christ to others. That's what we celebrate in this communion today. So this is your first time. And it is that task of being Christ to others is so hard, that we need the strength to keep on coming back every single week. Because it's not only to receive the body of Christ, but to see all the other people around us trying to be Christ to others. Can you imagine for a second, boys and girls, if every single one of us, not just you, but every single one of us in this entire assembly today went out and practiced exactly what we preach, and every one of us chose to be good to other people today, think that would have an impact? And if we did that day after day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, I believe wholeheartedly, boys and girls, that we would be a different community. That people outside would say, what happened to you last week? You're different. You're so nice. You're so good. You're so gentle. What happened on Sunday? And then you can say, I received my first communion. I have become a new member of Christ by becoming Christ to others. Boys and girls, that is what it means to be a shepherd. And a good shepherd shows us how to do it. We become what we receive, the body of Christ for others.